The Azraeli Foundation and Penguin Random House present Stronger Together by Eboya Grossman and Andy Reddy. Read for you by Helen Cass and Andy Reddy. Series preface written and read by Dr. Naomi Azraeli. Introduction written and read by Marlene Kadar.
Series preface. In their own words. Since the end of World War II, approximately 40,000 Jewish Holocaust survivors have immigrated to Canada. Who they are, where they came from, what they experienced, and how they built new lives for themselves and their families are important parts of our Canadian heritage. The Azraeli Foundation's Holocaust Survivor Memoirs Program was established in 2005 to preserve and share the memoirs written by those who survived the 20th century Nazi genocide of the Jews of Europe and later made their way to Canada. The memoirs encourage the readers to engage thoughtfully and critically with the complexities of the Holocaust and to create meaningful connections with the lives of survivors. Millions of individual stories are lost to us forever. By preserving the stories written by survivors and making them widely available to a broad audience, the Azraeli Foundation's Holocaust Survivor Memoirs Program seeks to sustain the memory of all those who perished at the hands of hatred, abetted by indifference and apathy. The personal accounts of those who survived against all odds are as different as the people who wrote them, but all demonstrate the courage, strength, wit, and luck that it took to prevail and survive in such terrible adversity. The memoirs are also moving tributes to people, strangers and friends, who risked their lives to help others and who, through acts of kindness and decency in the darkest of moments, frequently helped the persecuted maintain faith in humanity and courage to endure. These accounts offer inspiration to all, as does the survivors' desire to share their experiences so that new generations can learn from them. The Holocaust Survivor Memoirs Program collects, archives, and publishes survivor memoirs and makes the print editions available free of charge to educational institutions and Holocaust education programs across Canada. All revenues to the Azraeli Foundation from the sales of the Azraeli series of Holocaust Survivor Memoirs go toward the publishing and educational work of the Memoirs Program. My father, David Azraeli, who was a Holocaust survivor himself and the founder of the Azraeli Foundation, once wrote, "In telling these stories, the writers have liberated themselves. For so many years, we did not speak about it, even when we became free people living in a free society. Now, when at last we are writing about what happened to us in this dark period of history, knowing that our stories will be read and live on, it is possible for us to feel truly free. These unique historical documents put a face on what was lost and allow readers to grasp the enormity of what happened to 6 million Jews, one story at a time."
Introduction by Marlene Kadar. Read by Marlene Kadar. As Eboya Grossman wrote to her son in her memoir, An Ordinary Woman in Extraordinary Times, and I quote, "A true story with happiness and sadness in it." Soon after I read Eboya Grossman's memoir, first published in 1990 as An Ordinary Woman in Extraordinary Times, I worked up the courage to call her. On the other end of the telephone line was a modest and welcoming voice. The family consisted of two survivors, Ibby and her son Andy, whose love for each other eclipsed any solely academic interest I might once have had in the genre of the memoir, the period of the war in Budapest and its environs, and the narration of two memoirs of the Holocaust. With Ibby's encouragement, I came to understand my need to try to make sense of the crime of the rapid decimation of Hungary's Jews and Roma, and I reflected on what has become a method of understanding now. The act of retracing steps, in this case Ibby's and Andy's, through the Jewish quarter of Budapest, the former ghetto area in Pest, and eventually the house in which they were forced to live in the Budapest ghetto until they were liberated by Soviet forces in the yard at Akatsva, or Acacia Street. In other words, it was my own romantic view of Hungary as homeland that was challenged, and as I struggled to speak my father's first language, Ibi and Andy aimed only to speak mine. In the long aftermath of World War II, Europe's economic losses worsened. Pre-war populations suffered great civilian losses, enormous military casualties, the bombardment of grand cities, the distinctive Danube bridges and multiform architecture from Gothic to Art Nouveau, Roman to Bauhaus, and Turkish styles to an array of synagogue architectures, and the continuing tragic devastation of Europe's Jewish population in real numbers and enforced migrations abroad. Nowhere were these losses more palpable than in Hungary and, tragically, in the absolute final stages of the war. There, not only had the majority of Hungarian Jewry been murdered, but also its smaller Roma population, murdered in the gypsy family camps or scattered across Europe. Hungary was an independent ally of Nazi Germany until March 19, 1944, the day Germany occupied Hungary. On April 5th, Jews were forced to wear the yellow star. 1 month later, in May, mass deportations began. Between May 15th and July 9th, 1944, 437,402 Jews were deported from Hungary. The Canadian survivor, Rudolf Verba, born in Slovakia, co-author of the renowned Verba-Wetzler Report, attested to the organization of the murder of the Hungarians who would be arriving in Auschwitz from Hungary in 1944, a selection that did not, by chance, include Ibi and Andy. Verba affirms that fewer than 5% of the Hungarian deportees returned. Prior to the deportations, approximately 825,000 Jews lived in Hungary. According to the 1941 census, 200,000 of these resided in Budapest proper. The Jews in Budapest were not subjected to the same en masse deportations as those residing throughout the rest of the country. They were, instead, harassed and restricted by several anti-Jewish laws, and in October 1944, at the mercy of a new fascist regime led by the Arrow Cross Party, Jews were increasingly rounded up, assaulted, and murdered. On October 15, 1944, Hungary's regent, Admiral Miklós Horthy, had announced that Hungary was not going to war and that nobody had to worry. Ibi thought this meant she could tear the yellow star off her chest. But later that day, Ferenc Szálasi and the Arrow Cross Party took over the government, intent on collaborating with the Nazis and murdering the Jewish population who remained in Budapest. In November 1944, Ibi and Andy were among thousands incarcerated in the Budapest ghetto. But they held on long enough that they were saved from deportation and death, protected by the Russians who freed them, and then by the Allies who followed close on the Russians' heels. Iboya Szálai Grossman was an ordinary woman who lived through extraordinary times with grace, verve, and joyfulness whenever possible. This she did without ignoring the past, her past, and a life that included the death of her loved ones, especially Zoltán, her husband, and the father of her only child, Andy Réti. My pressing curiosity about Andy Réti and his beloved mother, Ibi, actually began in a symbolic reading of the writing of Andy's absent father. A man, of course, impossible for me to have met in real life, but I came to know him because his memory behaved as a muse, not just to me, but also to both Ibi and Andy. Zoltán Rechnitzer was murdered by the Third Reich months before the end of the war. His death was tragic in the same way all deaths are, but also because if only he had lived for just a few more months, he would have experienced the same liberation that befell the rest of his young family. It is no surprise that this sense of regret permeates both memoirs. In January 1987, prior to the publication of An Ordinary Woman in Extraordinary Times, Ibi wrote to her son, and I quote, "What a wonderful and loving father my husband would have been, if only he had lived." End of quotation. Andy's memoir honors this sentiment. Zoltan was, sadly, one of at least 42,000.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?